Welcome to the Sounds of Success, brought to you by the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. This audio magazine is a tool for generating profitable ideas and for taking your business to new levels of excellence and performance. Here you'll find real-life case studies of school owners just like you who have applied our proven successful business and marketing principles to their school and are creating the business of their dreams as a result.
Hi, Stephen Oliver with the National Association of Professional Martial Artists here. I'm here today with Inner Circle member David Inman. David, welcome to our call today.
Morning, sir. How are you today?
I am spectacular. And you are in hot Las Vegas, Nevada. How's Las Vegas today?
It's very hot right now, about 110, sir.
Better you than me, that's all I can say. Anyway, hey, David, you are, let's give him a little bit of background. First, maybe some of your martial arts background. When did you start training, and what have you studied, and how long have you studied it?
Let's see, I've been doing martial arts for 27 years in the American Taekwondo Association. I've been in the ATA the whole time I've been in martial arts.
Fabulous.
I've owned, in the ATA we do different things, mostly Taekwondo, but, you know, they're really good about expanding into different styles and different things for the ProTech divisions. I've owned several schools. I was in Indiana for many years and had three schools there, and then had an opportunity to move to Las Vegas and had a partner in a few schools out here, and then now for the last almost 2 years, year and a half, I've been on my own with a location here in Las Vegas, and we're doing very well with that one.
Fabulous, fabulous. Now, ATA is, by the way, a fabulous organization, and what I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, I've had close ties with a lot of the senior people in ATA, well, hell, with Master Bill Clark since I was 15, I think. He and Jeff Smith have been good friends pretty much from inception. If you go in YouTube, a bunch of Jeff Smith's old fights, Bill Clark was the chief referee for a bunch of them. But, you know, ATA is a fabulous organization, more of a martial arts association than a business organization by design. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I would agree with that. They have some great things that, you know, help support schools. You know, Master Clark and Master Bonchelli, and both of them have been very, very good on the aspect helping school owners build their schools. And, you know, Master Clark is, you know, spectacular, as you know, and helping schools. You know, there's information there if people utilize it and use it. But, you know, as an organization part, you know, they have a great, you know, system of you know, the style and, you know, the techniques to follow and the forms and everything. So more of a martial arts, you know, organization, but they do have some good business stuff to utilize.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Yeah, Sergio Anschmeling is a great guy. He's a friend of mine, as is Greg Moody and a whole bunch of the others. We've had a bunch of them that I've worked with in coaching or in Inner Circle. And the nice thing that you have with ATA is you have a fabulous foundation and a fabulous martial arts organization, but also a foundation to build from on the business side. And, you know, as you well know, every organization is, you know, is 80-20. And really, it's probably more like the top 5%, the top 15%, and the top 80%. And sure, most people can be given, you know, everything in the world and all the tools they need, but if they don't have somebody there nagging them to do it every day, they just don't do it. So the top 5% of ATA are among some of the most successful schools in the world. And Serge certainly mentioned a couple of them there, with Sergio von Schmeling and Bill Clark leading that pack. Let's go into some specifics here on your school. What does it look like now? How many active students? What kind of average gross are you doing?
On active students, right now we're at about 235, and okay. Our gross right now is approaching about 45,000, or about 44,000 a month. We have one more day. So today is the last day of the month is today, and we're going to definitely go above 45,000 for this month.
Beautiful. And you're clearly in that range that we start out with on our Inner Circle group, which is $200 a month average revenue per student. And, you know, my mission is to get all of you guys up to $300 a month average revenue per student, which
yes,
will put you in the $70,000 a month range. But, you know, $200 a month per student is probably triple what the industry norm is,
yes,
which is, you know, the first thing that people start to worry about that's inaccurate is, you know, the industry norm is failure. So you never worry about what the norm is. You worry about what should be done. How many new students a month are you getting the last 3 or 4 months?
The last 3 or 4 months, this month here has been a great month of new students with, you know, Kung Fu Panda following the steps that you and Toby put in place was really good. This month we're at, look at my board here, 37 new students this month for our basics program. And the last month, I believe we were at 26, and the month before that wasn't as good. We were at 17.
17.
Yes, sir.
And would you say 15 to 25 is kind of your norm for the year to date?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Excellent. And maybe you talked about the basic program. What is it you're charging? How are you structuring your basic program?
Basic program, you know, we've had some different, you know, things going on, but since we joined the Inner Circle program and with your guidance, we've made a lot of adjustments to the program, and it's actually improved it quite a bit. You know, we were doing a, you know, 45-minute class and incorporating a lot of different things, and we've really made the program a lot easier to be a part of, you know, with just a half-an-hour class and, you know, 2 days a week. And the basic program, and we're charging about $160 a month on the basic program. And, you know, it's just with the changes, I think, you know, we've really implemented in the last few months, it's made the enrollment process a lot easier for the basic program, and it's made our signups really increase also.
Well, what type of changes have you made?
You know, we shortened the class times. You know, eliminated a lot of the stuff that they need to do in the class. You know, curriculum-wise, we've made it easier. The enrollment process, you know, especially with our sales conference we did this last month in Colorado, that we've, you know, I improved the sales process and just the whole, you know, follow-up and the intro process, and, you know, of getting the people, when you get them in the door, and then the enrollment process, we made the, you know, basic program easier to get enrolled in.
Okay.
And which supplements the upgrade from that point on.
You mentioned the sales training we did. Which now for all the peak performers, by the way, is going to be a modular initial training. Right now, all of the MP3s and the videos are available for all the peak performer Inner Circle members. How valuable was that? I mean, we spent a lot of time from lead process all the way through the a few steps past the renewal. How valuable was that, and what were some of the ideas you picked up?
You know, I think it was extremely valuable. But, you know, for doing this for so many years, you hear a bunch of, you know, everybody thinks that, oh, I don't need to go anywhere because I already know everything, or I've heard it before. But I think every time that you go to something, you find something different. And, you know, every time you go to a business seminar or, you know, a seminar, you're going to hear something a little bit different that adds a little bit to your business. But on that one, that last business, you know, sales training I did that we did with you, I've got more than just a little bit. We, you know, I made a lot of changes to our enrollment procedure, and, you know, seeing the way that, you know, the steps that go into the enrollment, and seeing what a lot of the other people are doing, and then the ideas you gave me also on changing my PowerPoint presentation helped also. I mean, before we were doing, you know, I was doing really well. I believe when we did the percentages, I was about 83% on my
tight close
my
ratio
to enrollment. And then after coming back, though, with the rest of the month, I ended up, I believe my percentage is a little over 90, so like 90.7% for the rest of the intro to basic enrollment.
So from intro to basic, and in basic, are you doing a 6-month or a 12-month contract?
12 months, sir.
12 months.
Yes,
and that's
sir.
A little unusual among the ATA schools, too. A lot of them start with kind of a shorter enrollment to begin with. How quickly are you going into the upgrade then from the enrollment?
And just a quick note, I was the same way before, before the joining your program. You know, we were with a short basic program, but that's really helped to, going with the 12-month program. And the upgrade program process, I still need a lot of improvement on that, but we're, trying to, within the first 2 months of their program, trying to get them to upgrade into either the Master Club or Leadership program. One of the things I will say that I really like about the way that the Inner Circle program and what you're doing with NATMA is that the upgrade process, compared to a lot of things where I used to do was, give them an invitation and then in front of everybody and then talk to the parents and try to, get them to upgrade. Now we have, we have an application. It's more like they're getting accepted into the program. It's a lot more valuable, and we're telling them upfront about that. And it's eliminated a lot of the angry parents about, oh, I didn't know we had to pay more for another program, or I didn't know there was another program. I thought this is it. And it just makes everybody a lot happier because they know upfront, and they feel like they have to actually qualify for the program and be accepted into the program.
Yeah, it's a much different mentality if I'm trying to fight to get into Harvard than if somebody is showing up at my doorstep trying to sell me a continuing education program, right? And that's the mindset that we put people in for the upgrade. If done properly, here's a program that you need to qualify for. Here are the steps to qualify for it. We're going to do an evaluation process to see if you qualify for it. If you qualify for it, we'll sit down and cover the tuition options and work out the budgets. See, I mean, people really have to put their thinking cap on and put themselves in the mindset of that, Harvard or Stanford or University of Chicago admissions director, not think of yourself like, somebody who's peddling encyclopedias or fitness training door to door. And so many of us, when we think of sales, we think of used car salesman rather than thinking of being the admissions director.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
One of the things that's probably useful for you, David, or for our listeners, is you're in a little different situation than some of the others. You have come into the Inner Circle group as already a many-year school owner, a successful school owner, with a fabulous foundation from ATA and Sergio von Schmeling and Bill Clark and many of your other associates. Why would you move into a program like this, already having access to so many resources and so much background and knowledge? Most people in your situation, as you said, already kind of think they know it all and they think there's nothing else to learn. What was your thinking different than that?
I think the biggest thing that made me join the program was, I think, by doing it so long that we do get in that rut, and I just needed a little kick in the ass to, to kickstart what I know that I could do. And by surrounding myself with people that are doing, the numbers that are more than what I'm doing, and then hearing, and then talking to you and my goals were increased by a little bit each month, and you're big, hairy, audacious goals that you, as you said, you're like, okay, why am I not thinking that way? Why am I not just going for the big goals instead of trying to increase by a couple thousand each month? And so I like that concept, and it's really helped remotivate me and stay on task by setting the goals and achieving. We had some big goals this month and on new members, and we've really gone above and beyond what our goals are. And it's because of the program where, I just didn't walk into the month, with we're just going to do the same thing as last month, try to do a little bit better. No, this month we're going to go above and beyond, and we're going to do, more than we did, twice as much as we did last month. And it's just, those goals have really helped accelerate our progress to where we really want to be. And that's, we're now targeting, to hit that $70,000 to $100,000 a month, and we want to build up to get to that where we really should be.
Yeah, and, well, as you know, my mission for the Inner Circle is, and we'll take this as a single school operator for the time. Of course, we have a bunch of multi-school guys, or soon to be multi-school guys as well. But my mission is for everyone in the inner circle to have $1 million a year gross. More importantly, is to be in the top 1% or better of the income bracket in the United States, which is $350,000 a year. And as you well know, we have a lot of people who come in to the inner circle where they're growing $350,000 a year, and the mission is to get them to net $350,000 a year. And,
yes, sir.
And it's a completely different mindset. I love the BHAG thing, as big, hairy, audacious goals. I stole that from Jim Collins, and I think it was in the book Good to Great. He talks about companies that they studied. One of the big things that made them take a leap was big, hairy, audacious goals. See, incremental goals are not very empowering. Huge goals are very empowering. You can get out of bed in the morning, be excited about it, go to work, and rather than working on making a 1% or 2% incremental growth, is if you're focused on doubling, that's exciting, right?
Yes, sir.
So,
if I could real quick on those goals, you know, part of our billing company, Member Solutions, I'm part of them, and they had a contest this month on, number of contracts sent in, new people, and that was one of our goals. We just wanted to be at the top of that contest, and right now, all those schools that are in the program were number one in the contest as of the last date of the month. So if you set those goals and you stick with it, they can definitely be accomplished. And there's a lot of schools in there that are a lot bigger than we are, and we're beating them all.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's phenomenal. And as you know, I mean, we've been very supportive of the billing companies. I was actually EFC's first client. I met Joe Gallia way back when he was a program director for Joyce Santa Maria, and Joyce was one of the later EFC board of directors members. I was one of the founding members of that group, and I've never had anything good to say about either EFC or Member Solutions and several of the others. Now, there have been a couple that have had some miserable implosions recently. I do think it's very valuable. You have to have all of your billing automated. I've seen that a lot recently, too, is a lot of these guys are trying to be penny wise and pound foolish, so they're using, just collecting a check across the desk in-house rather than at least using software to automate it or using a billing company to have live human beings following up on it. Well, what's your perspective on that?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't imagine doing in-house billing. And, even some people, do the that I've talked to are doing, well, we can do, EFTs, in-house and, set up through our bank. And, it's just another aspect of the business. Why bother taking the time away from what's really important, which is, creating new sales, creating upgrades, and building your business? Why let somebody else take care of something that can be taken care of? It's like, having another employee that you don't have to manage and deal with. And
exactly.
By having to take care of it, it's like cleaning your own bathrooms or cleaning the school. You don't need to do it. So why do it when somebody else can do it better than you can do it?
Well, and to since I have an academic background in economics and an MBA, the economists call it opportunity costs. And what happens when you try to save money? And all those examples you gave are excellent examples: changing your own oil, cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning your house, handling your own billing, handling your own accounting. I mean, you can go through the list. But anything that in a business side that you can outsource to somebody who will do it better than you will, and in almost all cases, cheaper than your alternative opportunities. The best example I have of that, by the way, is I was talking to a coaching client, it's been a few years ago now, and who was very proud, and I swear to God, said this to me in the same sentence, said, I can't figure out why I'm plateaued at $12,000 a month. However, there's one bright shining light on the horizon here, is I now have a bunch of personal training clients who are paying me $80 an hour. And it was the classic experience of not understanding value per hour and opportunity cost. I said, well, easy to understand why you're not plateaued. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, take $80, multiply times 40 hours a week, multiply times 4 weeks a year, four weeks a month, what do you come out with? Well, he had valued his time at $80 an hour. To be for you to be a $1 million a year school means you have to have at least, let's say, $80,000 a month, means you have to have $20,000 a week, means that your personal time has to be worth $500 an hour. So if you can pay somebody else $1,000 for something that would have taken you 5 hours a month, you're way further ahead. And absolutely, you will be a $1 million a year school because you understand that.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Yeah, I think anybody who's doing their own billing right now is just, you know, missing the boat totally. It's just,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, something that doesn't need to be done.
But let's go back. Something we glazed over. On your upgrade program that you're targeting in 2 months, what are you charging?
On the up program, our leadership program is $257, and Master Club is a fallback if they, you know, you can't budget or, you know, do the leadership program at $207.
And
yes,
and you're gradually ratcheting that up, I know. Is there a down payment associated with those programs?
Yes, sir. It's $297 the Master Club and $597 for the leadership program.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are afraid to do that for some reason. What would you tell them if they're shy about asking for a down payment?
I think if you know, because I was exactly the same way, you know, no down payment, just get them in the program very easily. And I think if you have everything, you know, the in the sales process, like we talked about at the boot camp, is if you have everything in advance to eliminate the objections and to build the value in the program, and the program has to be, you know, 3, 4, or 5 times more valuable than what to them in their mind than what the cost is of the program. And I think if you have that in advance, that the program is more valuable, then it really eliminates a lot of the objections of the, you know, financial objections, whether it's the down payment or the monthly tuition. I really, you know, feel that it eliminates those. And then for the people that, you know, really want to do the program and they, you know, they can't do the down payment, then, you know, work with them on the down payment. And, you know, if you can do half this month and half next month, then, you know, work with them on that and, help the people get in the program. But, you know, really we've had, you know, a couple objections on the down payment, and just mostly not because they think it's, you know, they shouldn't be paying a down payment, but just mostly because, you know, they can't do all of it at once.
Yeah, and I define that differently. See, I think it's a big difference between somebody saying, you know, do I have to do that, or I'm not willing to do that, or why are you going to make me do that, versus somebody saying, well, you know, it's $997 down, I really can't do that right now. Well, what do you mean? Well, it's been kind of a tight month. We had some car expenses. We've already paid for the vacation. I can't give you anything more than $497. Okay. When can you do the rest? See, I mean, that's if they want to, but you're having to work with them on the budget, that's a wonderful thing. If they don't want to and they're giving you pushback, that just means you haven't prepped them properly before you got to that point. And so I think many times people don't understand the difference. And again, if you're asking for a down payment and half of them can do it with no problem and half of them need to split it up, you're still way further ahead than if you weren't, you know, if you were doing half as much down or if you weren't doing a down payment. And people miss that as well. We have a new member in the Peak Performers, and he was doing first month free, start billing at the second month, and just putting him on a contract. We had him put in a down payment. In the first month, he added $5,000 to his gross just in down payments that he wouldn't have had otherwise. And doesn't seem like a lot, but if you add $60,000 a year to your school net on top of where you were already at, it's a huge deal, right?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
I mean,
it's something that really helped our bottom line, you know, a lot, you know, helped our bottom line and really increased, you know, my perception and our instructor's perception of the value of the program also. Because when you're doing all the effort and you sign somebody up in the upgrade program and you don't really get any more money until the next month when they're doing their billing check, you want to sign people up to get an upgrade, but when you're actually adding money to this month's, you know, bottom line and the, you know, and it helps you increase your goal towards this month, then it really, you know, really helps you, motivate you to get people to upgrade to the program.
Exactly. And it is so important long term as well. As you know, we just did that little study with our inner circle group and found that the ones that had upgraded, I forget what the percentages we came up with, but it was something like 0.25% a month dropping out, and the percentage that didn't upgrade, it was like 5 or 6% a month on average dropping out.
Yes, sir.
And
you know, that really caught my attention in that meeting, and that, you know, something I'd never really thought of until that meeting. You know, I've been doing it for this long, I've never really thought about that, and it really, really helped me want to get more people to upgrade also, because knowing that, you know, really sitting back and realizing, yes, people that do upgrade to the leadership program or the, you know, your whatever your highest program is, that they don't quit, that they're the ones that stick around and are with you for forever, for, you know, the longest amount of time out of anybody in the school. And, you know, and that really motivates them also to help them want to, you know, get people to upgrade in the program, because knowing that the people are going to, you know, stick around, and you can't help people, you know, achieve their goals and what they want if they're not going to stick around in the program.
Yeah, and see, that's what I think a lot of school owners miss. They're afraid to ask, and then they doom their students to drop out at green belt. And
yes,
as martial artists, again, our mission should be for all of them to be a black belt, and I don't mean by giving them a piece of cloth. I mean for them to train 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, and have a life-changing experience. And I've never met somebody who got to green belt and dropped out who had a life-changing experience for martial arts. It's the ones who truly make this a lifestyle. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. Yes, sir. It's,
now, David, let's step back. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, sir.
We keep talking at once, and I don't mean to do that. Go, finish your thought.
I was just, you know, agreeing with you that, you know, the biggest reason that, you know, everybody should be in this business is to help people, and to really, if you really truly believe in what we do in this business and is going to change people's lives and really, you know, benefit them, and every instructor should want the people to, you know, stay in the program as long as possible. And the only way you're going to be able to help them achieve what they want and build their confidence and discipline is by having them stick with you for 3 or 4 years, and that's when it's really going to make a difference in their lives. By not having them commit to a longer program, you're not going to be able to achieve that.
Absolutely. Well, see, what I think the renewal process is all about, them thinking about really doing this on a long-term basis, as opposed to them thinking about this just kind of being a monthly or a periodic commitment to a recreational activity. And the reason why Harvard has a 97% graduation rate is people had to work to get in, and they were thinking about it for a long time, and they went with the expectation of getting their bachelor's degree. We don't have that luxury with people coming in. Oftentimes they're thinking of this as an alternative to soccer, an alternative to, you know, the Zumba class at the gym. But if we force them to, in those first 2 or 3 months, to really change their mindset and qualify for and set that long-term objective to graduate, then that's the only time we can get the benefits that we really promised them to get.
Yes, sir, I agree 100%.
David, let's step back. First of all, you've had very good marketing results, and I guess what I mean by that is you have a very tight ratio of intro to enrollment, but you've also had enough people coming in the front doors to end up with, for instance, this month, 37 enrollments, and an average of around 15 to 20 enrollments all year. What is it you're doing other than the movie promotion to fill the school? What are some of the things you're doing in the community? What are some of the things you're doing internally to accomplish that?
We're really strong on our website, on the web, on the internet. Average things like flyers and referrals, you know, those bring in a couple people a month. Things here and there, but besides the biggest thing we did this month was the web promotion. We had the website was probably this third biggest one, and then the second biggest thing that we had this month is right at the end of the school is the demos in the schools, and we do the demos in the schools, have the kids come in for a pizza party, and then we have an enrollment special at that party, and that was the second biggest thing that we did for the month. So number one was the Kung Fu Panda, number two was the pizza party from the schools, and number three this month on the was the internet.
Yeah, and by internet, there's at least four or five different components to that, right? There's putting your website on all of your advertising to drive them from offline to online, but there's also search engine optimization, pay-per-click on Google, pay-per-click on Bing and Yahoo, pay-per-click on Facebook, banners. We're doing a lot of work experimenting now with Groupon and similar coupon things. What did you do online that was successful?
You know, still working on all that to get good at it. It's a learning as you go thing. But with our website, we have the the search engine optimization, and then Google AdWords. We're working on that. We've had pretty good results with our Google AdWords accounts, and then with the kickboxing program, the Groupon has been great with that program also.
So you have done Groupon with the cardio program?
Yes, sir. With that, through the I Love Kickboxing program with Mike Perella.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Yeah, Mike's a great guy, and he's certainly got a lot of this stuff figured out. We spent a lot of time with the Inner Circle on the website, and one of the things that we're doing, it'll be recorded for everybody who misses it live, is we're doing a series of webinars on how to use Facebook, how to use Twitter, how to use search engine optimization, Google AdWords, Facebook, et cetera. What was the content we covered at the Inner Circle meeting useful for you on tuning and tweaking? I mean, we have one of the Inner Circle's members who's doing 150 intros a month from just online sources.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I thought I was doing okay with that until I went to that meeting, and then I realized that I need a improvement on that area. And I thought even my Google AdWords I thought was pretty good going into that meeting, and then Joe's numbers were dwarfed mine dramatically, so I definitely need some improvement on that. But yeah, the just a little part we did on the AdWords was really good, and analytics was very good. And then the future webinar that you talked about, and with going on the search engine and the Google AdWords and everything, is going to be, I'm really looking forward to seeing that and helping me understand how to do that and able to utilize those tools better.
Yeah, and you mentioned Joe. I just talked to him on Tuesday. He has doubled his results since that meeting. And so he was already doing pretty well, and then we beat him up pretty hard on his website and some of the stuff he was doing. And he, by the way, he was already in the top 5% of anybody doing that stuff. But we really, really, would you say we went through with a fine tooth comb on his deal?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And his numbers were much better than mine. But if he's doubled that is very, very impressive. I'm looking forward to hearing what he's doing.
Yeah, he came back and made some huge leaps on his implementation, and of course he's gearing up for school number two. With the Inner Circle, there's two key components. Obviously, you're getting a ton of information, but what we have found is schools that are getting a ton of information on DVD, CD, and so forth, many of them just don't know where to start, or it just doesn't click for them, or they think that there's one or two things that they don't understand, so therefore they don't implement. And what we're doing with both Peak Performers Inner Circle is the one-on-one coaching process as well as the mastermind process. What have you found most valuable and why?
Well, I can tell you that, I'm sure like 95% of the other martial arts school owners, I've got a pile of junk around here that I haven't even got to myself, too, that I keep saying, I need to listen to that, I need to listen to that, I need to. And nothing beats one-on-one, coaching and being part of a group where you hear other people, just like the meeting in Denver, even the kickboxing program, I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
John Harvey. John Harvey.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, hearing the things that he's doing in his kickboxing program just made me totally think different about ours. And, everybody has something different that I think you can take away and benefit your business. you know, from the group, and being part of that group is, you know, is, I think like I heard you say there, you know, rising tide raises all ships. And I think being part of that, you just, you know, you got to, your boat needs to rise. And and then having the coaching, hearing somebody, you know, tell you that, okay, your goals that you have, just, you know, you need to do better than that. Your goals need to be bigger and your number needs to be bigger. And it's so much better than just having stuff sitting on your desk that you know you need to look at, that, you know, you think you'll get to tomorrow, and then the next day and the next day, and you never do it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and so much of knowledge is hollow, right? I mean, how many times do we listen to a CD in the car, and this one included, and you listen to it once or you listen to it twice, you don't sit down and take notes, you don't sit down and put together an action plan, and then I don't know how many times a year later I pulled out the same CD, listen to it, there's nothing on it that's new, nothing on it I don't know, but a whole bunch of stuff that I haven't done.
Oh, absolutely. And without having somebody tell you to do it, you know, it's hard to make yourself, you know, just do it. There's, you know, not too many, you know, self-motivators that will do that stuff, you know, and we get lazy. You know, I mean, I'm a procrastinator. My son, for Father's Day, got me a shirt that says I put the pro in procrastination. So, you know, without having somebody, you know, get on you to do it, it's really easy not to do it. So I think, you know, having all the stuff is wonderful, you know, and everybody wants stuff, but having somebody call you and tell you to do it is so much different. It's so much more valuable.
Well, in your case, you and I have been working on a one-on-one. Of course, I'm always kind, gentle, and work on making sure that there's nothing blunt or direct, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
I was just being sarcastic.
Absolutely.
But and that's what we need. I mean, people forget that Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods both always had coaches. And, you know, I mean, if you look at Muhammad Ali with Angelo Dundee, and even if you look at Mike Tyson, I mean, Mike Tyson's career imploded when he lost his coach. And to some extent, he never really recovered from that. And being in business is exactly the same. Being a teacher is exactly the same. I know you haven't in 27 years. I started martial arts in 1969, but I didn't master it by getting a DVD and watching it. I didn't master sparring by getting a CD and listening to the principles. I did it by somebody watching me and live practice and having ongoing personal instruction and critique. And
absolutely,
this really is no different.
Yes, sir. And it's so funny in the martial arts. You know, we all look for the best instructor to help us, you know, improve our, you know, martial arts skills, but nobody wants to look for the best person to help improve our business. And nobody wants the, you know, instructor to do that. And it's so surprising, because we know that the people that are good at martial arts, we know what got us there was to be training with the best, you know, best instructors and the best people that, you know, teach us what we need to know. But nobody wants to do that in business. And it just amazes me that nobody's willing to do that.
Well, the top 5% do.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, it's really no different than if you had a student who wanted to go train for a week with everybody in your city and think that they were going to master something. And as we talked about the seminar, so many people right now are, they take a little bit from Member Solutions, a little bit from Maya, a little bit from Tommy Lee, a little bit from NAPNA, a little bit from EFC, a little bit from, let's say, what they already had access to, an ATA or whatever. And then they mix it all together and they have a pile of crap, no different than somebody who did a couple weeks of Taekwondo, a couple weeks of Jeet Kune Do, a couple weeks of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, a couple weeks of ATA Taekwondo, and thought they had mastered something. And then they can't figure out why they're stuck at $10,000 a month or stuck at $20,000 a month or have plateaued and aren't making growth.
Yes, sir. That's a great analogy to look at it that way. I mean, I think that's so true. You know, I was just at the ATA World Championships last weekend, and a number of people I talked to that are doing the exact same thing that you just talked about it's a majority of them are doing that. And it's just the top ones that, you know, that I talked to that are not doing that are focused on one thing and focus on one area, you know, focus on one coach to help them, guide them where they want to be. And that's the top people that are doing that.
Yeah, and it's important to be selective in choosing that person, obviously. You've got to have somebody who's been there, done that, and has also coached a whole bunch of other people onto success.
Yes, sir.
The when you talk to your peers about your current pricing, I'm sure a lot of them tell you you're crazy and that you can't charge that much, especially in some places been as blighted as Las Vegas last couple of years. How do you respond to them?
I learned a long time ago to stop trying to convince my peers. You know, I tried that for a long time, and I just tell them, and then they say their comments, and I just, you know, hey, that's what we charge, and you know, that's it works, and in this industry, you know, if you try to convince your peers, you know, doing this or doing that, then it just, you know, it's such a challenge, you know, especially, you know, the people that go hang out at tournaments and they try to, you know, try to convince everybody to do this and do that. And they surround themselves with, you know, the lower people or people that are not doing well. And that's the people they hang out with all the time. And that's why they're not doing well. But, you know,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
And the people that, you know, want to do well and, you know, and have that desire to, you know, to do better, then I have no problem helping them or spending time with them. It's just the ones that, you know, that just sit there and want to, you know, bitch and moan and not do anything that, you know, I don't understand why people just spend their time with those people all the time.
No, it's just ridiculous. You know, I coined that, Lee Meltier and I were joking a couple years ago, and I coined my phrase of masterminding with failures. You know, there's the whole mastermind principle, but the mastermind principle is only as good as the peers you hang out with, right? And
absolutely,
what most of us do is mastermind with other broke people and then think that we're going to make some headway by listening to their ideas. I troll around on a couple of, like, the martial arts business discussion boards. And it's the same thing, a whole bunch of broke people, you know, arguing the right way to do something. And, the leaders on the deal are doing $10,000 or $12,000 a month. And it's a sure way to also be broke.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for a couple of referrals from your Little Rock event. I know that Sue spoke highly of your conversation with her, and there was a couple of others that you spoke to as well that I've heard back from. So we always appreciate the kudos.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
When we talked, go ahead.
You know, I feel, you know, 100% that when, you know, just like the NAPMA and anything else is just like our martial arts school. You know, if you're giving a good service, then you want to tell people about it. You know, just like people want to tell people about our school if they're, you know, really enjoying the training and everything going on in the school. And, you know, I've been thoroughly impressed with what you and Toby have provided me through NAPMA and the Inner Circle and, you know, the coaching that we've gotten. And I want to tell everybody about it. I think it's a great program, and I think more people should definitely be involved with it and take advantage of the coaching and the benefits they can get from the program.
I appreciate that. If somebody already has a fairly successful school, I've talked to several in the range at one end of 24,000, another at 70,000, they both said the same thing to me. They said, "You're crazy for asking me to pay that much." How would you respond to them about return on investment or something like that? And one of them, you know, it was like literally 1% of his gross, and he still thought it was crazy.
Yes, sir. Well, I can say, you know, before the program, even though I've been doing this for a long time, and I've, you know, heard, you know, been, you know, with, you know, heard stuff from some of the best people, when we first started the program, I was in a 1,600 square foot location, and we were doing, you know, probably, you know, mid to low 20s, and we had about 130 students. And, you know, since I joined the program, we, you know, in the same shopping center, you know, we've been trying to negotiate with the bad economy. We were in a, you know, lease, you know, bad lease, but we got to move within the same shopping center. After we've already, you know, one of the things I was wanting to do this for a while, and in the very first meeting, you said, you know, get another 30 students, paying students, and then try to do the move. And then we did that, and then we moved to a location 3,500 square feet, and now, you know, we're at 230 students and doing over 40,000 a month. So we've increased our gross by 20,000 a month, you know, being part of the program. So, you know, paying 1% of that, or, you know, half of whatever percent that is, I know the math off the top of my head, is just a little drop in the bucket for the results that we get.
Yeah, you know, it's almost a 20-to-1 return. on investment.
Yep.
And if I got the numbers right, you've had a 250% increase in your gross revenue with almost no increase in your expenses, and a 200% increase in your active student body.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we've hired no more instructors. We've actually lowered our rent, not raised our rent, and we have no more. Our expenses are not any higher, than what we had before. But we're just making more money.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more marketing.
Yes, sir.
Probably not.
We do that.
Yeah. Well, Dave, we have chewed up a bunch of your time, and I think we're going to have to wrap it up here. Any last couple words of wisdom on what you would tell, let's take a school owner that was in your spot, a school owner who's in the mid-20s, 100 to 200 students. What should they do immediately to have the kind of dramatic, again, 250% increase in your gross, 200% increase in your student count, improvements that you've had?
I think they need to set some big, hairy, audacious goals and go for it. And, find whether it's you or, anybody, find a reputable mentor that can hold them accountable to what they, say they're going to do. I don't think there's anything in life, in business, that will exceed having somebody hold you accountable and having a mentor hold you accountable to your goals and to what you need to accomplish in your business and life.
Fantastic. Well, excellent advice, and we thank you, David, for being so open and so sharing with everybody. And, of course, I'm a big fan of ATA as an organization, but certainly our mutual friends at the top. And my mission is for you to be $1 million-a-year school and to have about half of that or more as net profit. So I think we're going to be there next year, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do, and I'm looking forward to the future success.
Okay. Thank you very much, and hopefully you stay indoors and stay in the air conditioning there in your 110-degree heat.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.